All right. Hey, it's so good to be here. It was a wonderful drive full of lots of rain and just,
And no kids in the car. It was so peaceful.
No kids in the car. Yeah, that made it a quiet drive, too. Yes. It's so good to see you guys. You know, we got to fellowship with your youth group and your youth leaders back in July. We had the honor of having all these guys come up and do camp with us in Prescott, and it was just such an awesome time. So I hope they came back with good fruit, you know? Like, where do they go? Like, no. But anyways, it's an honor to be here with you this morning. We love Ed and Gina and just everything that they talk about you so well, you know? They really brag about their church family and their pastor, and we love to have gotten to hear your story. You know, we love to hear the story of churches and people, and because for someone to, you know, to come into a place, into a house of worship like this and feel the love of God and His presence and just be able to be a part of a family like this. You know, somebody had to have paid a price, you know, digging that well and building that foundation. And so, you know, it says a lot of, you know, your leadership, you know, and the leadership of this house. And so we're just honored to, you know, to do church and life and kingdom with you and to be a small part of, you know, what you guys are doing. It's an honor to be here with you today. And so I'm going to give the microphone to my wife because she has a lot of really good things to say today. And you're going to really enjoy it. So,
thank you. Well, yes, it's such an honor to be here. To be able to come into what God is doing here is just amazing. It's amazing. And I've only gotten to speak to a few of you, but I could feel the love of God. That's what it's about, right? That's Chad and Gina, I feel like I've known you guys for a long time, but you guys probably know this about your pastors, but it doesn't take very long to feel so close to them because they're real and vulnerable and so funny, and they make you feel at home in their presence, you know? So thank you for friendship. Thank you for friendship, and thank you for welcoming us in this. Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me? This is better. Okay. All right, so this morning I want to talk about a better way of living, a way of living the supernatural life. I'm going to talk about honor this morning. The title of my message is The Better Way, The Way of Honor. So before I get started, let's just pray. God, we just thank you for what you've already done, even in worship. We feel your presence. We thank you for the manifest presence. We change in your presence. We change in your glory. And so even this morning, God, we humble our hearts before you. We say, God, would you show up big time? Would you transform us? As we're learning your word, would you transform us? I pray as I teach this morning, I would articulate your heart well. It would go forth with power. It go into our hearts and produce seed. Lord, we want to live a supernatural life. We want to use this time on earth for your glory, touching as many people as we can. We don't want to waste time. Teach us this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so honor. Honor is such a powerful force that many people don't really understand. And my husband and I learned this early on in ministry, and it's transformed our life. And my husband could be teaching this probably better than me. He's a man of honor. I've seen him honor people and in situations, even in justice, and I've seen God really honor him back. And so honor is so powerful when we learn how to honor correctly. So, what does God mean about honor? What does he say about honor? The Bible actually has a lot to say about honor. And where there's honor, there's tremendous favor, and the supernatural follows where there's honor. there's tremendous favor, and the supernatural will follow honor. Because honor is the culture of heaven, and it's the heartbeat of God. Honor is the culture of heaven, and we are called to bring heaven on earth. We do that in many ways, but it comes in honor. And when honor comes, the Holy Spirit follows that. So honor is giving great respect to something or someone. Honor is actually calling out the best in people. Honor is focusing on the best part. Honor is not treating as common. Honor is respecting who somebody is rather than what somebody does. See, our culture is all about what you do, what's your title, right? What degree do you have? We want to honor that, but that is not the kingdom of God. Honor is who we are, being a child of God. That is who we are. Then out of the overflow of that is what we do, but it's who we are. So it's honoring somebody who they are, not what they do. We honor the person, not the actions. Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are God's masterpiece. You know, when you think of a masterpiece, that's like the best, right? The one they're famous for. God is saying out of all of creation, we are the ones he's famous for because we are made in his likeness and his image, right? Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ to do good works which God prepared for us long ago. This means in advance. This word, good works, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means an appointed glory. Every single one of us, from before the foundations of the world, God has put an appointed glory on each one of us. And we are honoring the glory that God has put in every single human being. He's created us like that. Okay, so honor. You know, we know some scriptures probably come to mind, right? Honor your mother and father, and you will live a long life. A long and full life in the land of the Lord. That's what God says in Exodus 20:12. But it's not just Old Testament. He reiterates it several times in the New Testament. Matthew 15:4, Matthew 19:9. Honor your mother and father. And there's no disclaimer there. It doesn't say unless they're terrible parents, if they treat you bad, then don't honor them. It says honor your mother and father. What does that mean? Focus on the good they did. And I don't know, maybe your parents did nothing good. Maybe they just provided the seed and the sperm for you to be born. And you are here. That's enough to honor. And you can find the smallest thing to honor in somebody. And long life. God says honor brings long, full life in land. The Bible says, Romans 13:1, honor your authorities. There's no disclaimer. Unless the president who was elected was not the one you voted for, then you don't have to honor. It's not in there. It says honor authorities. We're going to talk more what honor means, but honor marriage. Hebrews 13:4. Honor marriage. Honor the marriage covenant. Don't treat as common. Do you know honor just means don't treat as common? Like it's just everyday thing, but no. The covenant is precious. God's created it. Your spouse is a gift to you. Don't treat your wife or your husband as common, but it's a gift. Okay, Romans 12. Don't worry, I'm going to throw a lot of scripture out to lay a foundation, then we're going to go deeper into this. Honor one another. Romans 12, 9 through 10. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. I can feel that love is genuine. It's so precious. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another showing honor. What? Outdo one another showing honor. I mean, that sounds like a challenge right there. I don't know, who likes challenges? I really do. That gets me going. How can I outdo, how can I honor you more than you honor me? Can you imagine the body of Christ learning to honor like that? We would be so powerful. on this earth. And that is what heaven is like. The Father's honoring the Son. The Son is honoring the Father. The Father's honoring the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's honoring the Son and Father. Do you see that unity going on? Outdo one another showing honor. There's no disclaimer. But of course, if someone doesn't honor you, then of course you're off the hook. Don't honor them. No disclaimer. Honor one another. We honor each other not for what we do or don't do, but who we are. We are made in the likeness and image, created by God. God took time in our mother's womb to create us. Every single human being is so special to God, and he calls us to honor that. Not what they do. We so look on the outside at what somebody does. And, you know, sometimes people are very dishonorable. Their actions are very dishonorable. But we honor who they are. Every human being should be honored. God took time. There's an appointed glory. Every single one of you has an appointed glory on your life. Good works. God took time to plan the good works he has for you. Prepackaged. You just get to walk in it. He did the work. Grace is you just walk in it. The appointed glory on your life. So dishonor can be as simple as treating as common or as awful as talking bad or slandering somebody. God hates that. Because when we're slandering somebody, we're slandering God. Because we are his. We're his children. If anybody's a parent in here or an aunt and uncle, somebody messes with your kids, even if you know they're naughty, you know. Your grandkids, don't you dare talk about my kids. That's how God feels about every single one of us. He gets very protective. You know that thing, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all? Do that. Because sometimes you just don't have anything nice to say. Right? A great example is in the book of Matthew. So turn with me to Matthew. I've read some scripture. I quoted scripture, but turn with me if you have your Bible. If you don't bring your Bible to church, bring your Bible. There's something about having the Bible, the Word of God, in your hand, seeing it for yourself. Or your phone. You can use your phone or iPad. I like the Bible because you like to highlight it. Mark 6 gives us a really good example about dishonor. Okay, I'm going to start with verse 1. I'm going to go all the way down to 6. Mark 6. Mark 6, 1. Did I say Matthew? Sorry, Mark. And I'll wait till you get there. I led you astray. Okay, are we there? Mark 6, 1, Jesus left there and came to his hometown, Nazareth, with his disciples, and they followed him. And when Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who listened to him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things, this knowledge and spiritual insight? What is this wisdom, this confident understanding of the scripture that's been given to him? And such miracles as performed by his hands." Sorry, I have the amplified. "And is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and John and Judas and Simon? Are his sisters not here with us?" And they were deeply offended. Say deeply offended. "By him." And their disapproval blinded them to the fact that he was anointed by God as the Messiah. Their disapproval blinded them. Jesus said to them, "A prophet not without honor or respect, except for in his own hometown, amongst his relatives in his own household." He could not do a miracle there at all because of their unbelief, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. And he was going around into the villages teaching. What happened? They saw Jesus' comment. Wait, no. How can he have this great revelation? How can he be anointed? I grew up with him. I see his family. There, you know, he has no degree. Who does he think he is? They were so deeply offended that God was using him. They missed the supernatural. They completely missed it. How many times in our life do we treat the people around us as common? dishonor, and we miss the very thing, the very miracle that's in front of us. You know, God loves to do the supernatural, but he loves to use his kids. And I'm telling you, sometimes he loves to use the person you're offended with most. Why is that? Because he wants to bring healing in his family. The one you can't stand, the one is so obnoxious, is the very one your healing, your miracle might come through. Because God just loves to do that. He loves to heal us through each other, through our brokenness, through our weakness. They missed it. They missed the supernatural because they could not honor what God was doing in that moment. You know, maybe somebody's going to look different than you, sound different than you. You don't approve. We're so judgy, aren't we? First Peter 2:17 and 19, it says, show respect for all people. All people. It doesn't just say believers, all people. It says, treat them honorably. And then it says, love the brethren. So we respect all people. We love the brethren. Fear God. Honor the king. We live in a culture of so much dishonor. But where there is honor, there's tremendous favor in the atmosphere of the supernatural. Telling you guys, if you guys get this, if you honor your parents, and you know what? They're not always right. I know. But you honor, even in injustice, there's going to be tremendous favor on your life. Your bosses, your teachers in school, when you honor, there will be supernatural things happening in your life. God will raise you up. Honor's so powerful. Honor's so powerful. We can transform the lives, our lives and lives around us with honor. Your life will supersede your limitations through honor. Your life will supersede your limitations through honor. Honoring God and honoring others. Okay, so let me just say this. Let me tell you what honor is not. Honor's not about agreement. Honor's not about agreement. You don't have to agree with somebody to honor them. Man, I wish this was just preached in the media all last year. I don't have to agree with you to honor you. You don't have to agree with me to honor me. This is huge. We honor somebody for their position or their identity, not their actions. That doesn't mean we don't disagree with actions. We can speak facts without bashing or slandering a person, right? In a situation. We can talk about a situation. We can talk about how we experience without bashing character. Because sometimes we do need to talk about things, right? Right and wrong. We need to talk about what's right and wrong. Honor is not condoning sin or another lifestyle, but it's respecting the person as a human being created in the likeness and image of God. I know your pastor's been talking about King David a lot, right? I got to hear some of it, Chad. Amazing pastor. King David knew how to honor people. He honored people so well. There's example after example. David was a man after God's own heart because God is honorable. He honors. He honors people. He honors us. God honors us. My mind can't even wrap around how God would honor us. And he loves to give us glory and lift us up and call out the best in us. He honored, King David honored King Saul even when Saul was clearly out of God's will for his life. Now that's powerful, right? No matter what Saul did, he was still in the position of the king appointed by God. And David honored that. David honored that position. Through honor, supernatural favor, and the supernatural flowed in David's life. Miracles happened in David's life. God elevated David higher than he could have ever elevated himself through honoring people around him. He didn't honor himself. David did not honor himself. He let God honor him. He just sowed honor into the people around him. Through honor, David had a kingdom mentality through honor. Kingdom mentality means he saw beyond himself and his generation. Saul had a poverty mentality. All he could see was him, his kingdom, what God was doing in him. He couldn't even see past his generation. But kingdom mentality means God's moving in me, God's moving in you. I can see past what God wants to do in my kids and my children's children. I'm building legacy. I'm seeing beyond myself. God's so much bigger than one person. It's not all about us, right? It's not about just our church, our small little church in Mesa, but God's doing a great work here. Wow, look what God's doing here. God's moving. It's kingdom mindset. David knew he was building something bigger than himself. And God chose David to be the lineage for Jesus Christ because he could see past himself. He was a part of something bigger, his kingdom. You and I are a part of something bigger than our lives, our ministry, our business. If we have a poverty mindset about God's kingdom, we limit our view of what God is doing. Poverty mindset is dishonoring God's kingdom. Because we're saying, God's not big enough. God's not big enough to use you miraculously and supernaturally and use me miraculously and supernaturally. Are you joking? God has more than enough glory, more than enough power for all of us to flow with the Holy Spirit. He wants to use all of us in a great way. Poverty mentality says there isn't enough room for two powerful people. Only one of us can be powerful. So I'm going to make you look small so I look bigger. It's demonic thinking. It's poverty thinking. Kingdom mindset is, how big can I make you look? How much can I honor you? How much can I sow into what God's doing in your life? You know, we think, oh, well, you think differently than me, so, you know, I can't honor that. Ben and I purposely put people in our lives who think way different than us. It's very healthy. It's very healthy to have people who think differently than you around you because it helps you see bigger and have a better perspective. We don't always listen to it, but it's healthy, right? And we honor the people around us. Poverty mentality thinks that if I honor somebody, then that's taking honor away from me. That was King Saul, right? He's like, his kingdom. And if I even give David any glory, then I'm going to look small. There's no subtraction in the kingdom of God. There's only multiplication. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Always. If you sow dishonor, you will reap dishonor. Not because God is dishonoring you, but that is the principle of the kingdom of God. We are in charge of what our life looks like. We can sow kingdom principles. We can sow joy. We can sow peace. We can sow honor and reap the supernatural and reap favor. Or we can have poverty mentality and we can sow dishonor, try to make people look small so we feel bigger, but it never works. It never works. There's only multiplication. We serve a huge God. He knows how to multiply. Poverty mentality and jealousy will rob you of sowing honor and reaping favor and the supernatural. There is no time for jealousy. There's more than enough God. There's more than enough gifts. He loves us all. There's an appointed glory on your life that nobody can take away. It's an appointed glory for you. Handpicked for you. You don't have to worry about somebody else's glory. Honor their glory because you have your own. And when you find out what God has instilled in you, you don't even want anybody else's. You're so in love with the destiny and calling that God has on your life. It's so good. It's handpicked for you. It's like David trying to put on Saul's armor. It will never work. David had his sling. You have what you need. You have your appointed glory. You don't need to be jealous of somebody else's life. Honor it. Honor what somebody has, and you will reap honor back. James 3:16, it says, where there's jealousy and selfish ambition, where there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there's disorder, unrest, rebellion, every evil thing, and morally degrading practice. This was King Saul. He started having those demonic attacks. Why? Jealousy. Jealousy, instead of just honoring. God called David to take over the kingdom. Why couldn't Saul get excited and say, okay, I see God is going to use you. I'm going to pour everything I know into you so you can be successful. I'm going to stand by your side, and we're going to see God do a great work in our land. Can you imagine if that story was different? Saul would have been elevated right next to David. It's true. His name would have looked different in the Bible. His story would have been different. Saul couldn't see past his own kingdom. So many people can't see past their own life. God's so much bigger than what God is doing in our life. And together, collectively, wow, God's doing something so great. He was possessive. Saul was possessive. What you build in this life, you will have to maintain. What God builds in your life, he will maintain. That's rest. Let God build it. Let God maintain it. We don't even have to worry. Instead of Saul being the spiritual father and getting in line with what God was doing, he was the jealous older brother. We have too many jealous older brothers in the kingdom of God. Instead of spiritual mothers and fathers pouring into the next generation. And I don't just mean in age. I'm talking about Christianity. There's baby Christians. They could be 90 years old. They need a spiritual mama. Pouring into them. Everything I know, I'm going to give to you. You know when we've done our job well? When those that we poured into, the disciples, are bigger than us. When they're more successful than us. In business, in life, when my children, my 15-year-old daughter is leading worship this morning at our church. Praise God. At 15, I was not doing that. At 15, I was not doing that. I am so excited that my natural children and my spiritual children can be elevated higher than what I could give them. Right? If my roof could be their foundation, that's kingdom. Every generation going from glory to glory, getting bigger and bigger. I see that here. What an inheritance you guys have. What you've built. Pastor Lee, what you built here, now you guys get to take. You know what honor is? Taking what that man built, him and his wife, laid their life down for year after year, taking that, honoring your pastors, and going to the next level. What God could do in this place, what God could do in Chino Valley, revival would break out here. Don't let that go to waste. Honor the calling, anointing on their life. People deserve an encounter with the Lord. People need the supernatural, and we're in the way. We got to honor one another, and we got to honor them out there. We got to honor them because God made them. He called them worthy. We got to look past what they're doing, get past the dirt. God has called us to be miners. We chip away at the dirt and find the diamonds and gold in every human being. It's in there. It's in there. It's a prophetic view of what God is doing. When you're around somebody, say, God, what do you see? I know what I see. What do you see? Call that out in people. People will rise up to what you call them. Did you know that's the prophetic? Calling out the gold. Lifting up our kids. You know, it's really easy to tell our kids what they're doing wrong. They know that. What about telling them what they're doing right? Calling out the gold, even if it's that one thing, that only two things. Call them up to that. Call them who they are, not what they do. Who they are. You're a child of God. You're so powerful. You're going to change the world. First Corinthians 3:3. It says, are you still worldly, controlled by ordinary impulses? For as long as there's jealousy and strife and disorder among you, are you not unspiritual? Are you not walking like ordinary men? Why do we not see signs and wonders and miracles? Because there's no honor. And see, are you just walking like the ordinary men? Does the church just look like the world? But when we honor each other and we honor God, the supernatural is going to be flowing and the world is going to wonder what is going on in that place. A lot of times they don't want to come into the church because it's the same. It's the same. And I'm not saying here, I think it's a powerful church, but I'm saying the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, needs to honor one another. Kingdom mentality is God's kingdom is bigger than what I'm doing, bigger than my life. How can I be a part of the bigger picture? How can it be a part of the bigger picture? Who can I sow into? What is God doing in your life? I want to sow into that. If you sow into the vision here, if you sow into your pastor's vision, God's going to sow into your vision. He'll make you bigger than you know, your business bigger than you ever could think, surpass any limitations because you're sowing honor, honor of this house, your ministry bigger than you can ever think. Kingdom mentality is how can I build a legacy for the next generation? Ben and I were a part of a church, a great church, but a church that just had poverty mentality. Not about finances, but about kingdom. Nobody could be bigger than the pastor and other people's gifts and intimidated the pastor. So if anybody, if God started using somebody, they had that Saul mentality, that poverty mentality. And when God called Ben and I to be pastors, we were so excited. And our pastors could see the anointing, but they just couldn't get behind it. They couldn't be that spiritual father to set us up for success. And they became that jealous older brother kicking us to the dirt. And we started with nothing. But the Lord told Ben and I, you honor. You honor not what they did, but who they are and all the good that we got. And through honor, God started building our ministry, not through offense, not through hurt, praise the Lord, because I don't think we'd be pastors today. Because where there's jealousy and discord, there's every evil thing. But through honor, we sent cards and letters. We met with them. We financially sowed into them. And I'm not bragging about us. I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit led us to do to set us up for the next season. Just because somebody's dishonorable doesn't mean you're called to be dishonorable. Did you know you can be honorable in a room of dishonorable people? Because that's kingdom. And God so blessed Ben and I. And today we have relationship with them, and all is mended. They actually came to us and apologized and said we were wrong and we're so sorry. And they never had to do that. God healed our heart. But do you see what honor does? It's so powerful. Honor so powerful. Okay, 11 o'clock. How are you guys doing? 11:08. Okay, good. Okay, so I have a funny, not so funny story in the Bible. I'm going to read to you. Okay, Mark 9, verse 33. I'm going to go to 41. Listen to this. This is Jesus and his disciples. Verse 33, it says, and when they arrived at Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, hey, what were you guys discussing and arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the road they had discussed and debated with one another which one of them was the greatest. Sitting down to teach, he, Jesus, called the 12 disciples and said, hey, if anybody wants to be first, like he knew what they were talking about. Okay, so you're talking about who's the greatest? Let me just tell you how you can be great. That's what he's teaching them. He actually didn't shame them. He just said, okay, you want to be great? Let me tell you the secret of the kingdom. You want to be the greatest? You want to be first, he says? Then be the least or the last of all of them and be a servant of all. Then he took a child and set him before him, taking him in his arms, and he said, whoever receives and welcomes one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me not only gets me, but the one who sent me, my Father. And John said to him, teacher, we saw some people casting out demons in your name. Did you see he just derailed the whole conversation? He just, like, God just gave him a nugget, like, honor kids, take care of the kids, the least among you, honor them, and you will be the greatest in my kingdom. I see you great when you're honoring the least likely, the unlovable, the smallest in the group. And John's like, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop them because they were not with us. They're not a part of us. They can't do that. And Jesus said to him, do not stop him, for there's not one person who performs a miracle in my name and be able to soon after speak evil of me. For who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as a follower of Christ, I assure you, most solemnly say, he will not lose his reward. What is he saying? Celebrate others. Celebrate others. The more we celebrate others, we're celebrating God and what he's doing. Honor, even in the differences. You know, there's all kinds of different churches. Some are spirit-filled, some are not spirit-filled. But if they're teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, God is more than able to move in their church. Right? We don't have to focus on the differences, but we can honor the one that we all believe in, and that is Jesus Christ. That's enough sameness to honor one another, right? We get all tied up with all these theological teachings, and we miss the big picture. I'm saved, you're saved by the grace of God. Let's get more people saved, right? It's so simple. And if we can heal them along the way, praise God, right? So they can have abundant life on earth. The disciples were so dishonoring to each other and to kingdom. It was all about them. God said, you want to be great? Go get a kid. Serving kids ministry. You want to be great? You take a turn and you love on those kids. You serve with the youth. That's who God said is great. Take care of the homeless, right? Which I think you guys probably need help in children's ministry, right? Teachers, go love on those kids. That's the next generation. Miracles are happening in the kids. Revival happens with the kids. Their faith is so pure. Go pour yourself into them. Mark 10:33-38 says, listen very carefully. So, this is Jesus with the disciples, and he's pulling them. He goes, I got to tell you something so important, okay? Like if Jesus says, hey, stop, come in and listen. My husband and I were in Boston last week. We took the kids on vacation, and we're about to cross a busy street. So we call them in. We're like, okay, listen. Stay close. We're going to pass. So Jesus is calling his disciples. He has something very important to say. And he said, listen very carefully. We're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed and handed over to the chief priests and scribes. And they'll condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. He just told the disciples everything that's about to happen. I mean, top secret. They get to know what's going on. And they'll mock and ridicule him, spit on him, whip him, kill him. And 3 days later, what did Jesus say? 3 days later, I'm going to rise up, right? They told him. He told them what's going to happen. Verse 35, right after that, they didn't say, oh, Jesus, what should we do to prepare? How do you want us to handle that? Well, how can we help you? No. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. And he replied to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, grant that we may sit with you on your right hand and your left in your glory. You see what just happened? Sometimes this is us in our prayer life with the Lord. God's like, okay, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. This is where I'm moving. This is what I'm doing. This is my plan. And we're like, God, make me great. Give me glory. I mean, and God's so gracious with us. But listen, when we are where God is at, all is well. I mean, 90% of our prayer requests disappear when we're in the glory of God. We're where the Spirit is moving. God tells us things to come. Holy Spirit, that's His job. He's our teacher, our counselor. He tells us things in the future. But we're so stuck in the present. We're so stuck in ourselves, in our glory, and what we need. We're missing it. Just like the disciples. I mean, Jesus is so gracious. I would just want to bonk them on top of their heads. Did you hear me? This is about to happen. They missed it. We know they missed it because when Jesus at the cross, they were nowhere to be found. They were hiding, scaredy cats, because they didn't hear what Jesus said. John was the only one was at the feet of Jesus through the whole thing because he knew. He had kingdom mentality. It wasn't about him, it was what God was doing, and he could see it. God is speaking bigger, bigger kingdom. God was speaking bigger than what the disciples were talking about. All the disciples were worried about the seat they were going to sit in heaven. And Jesus is like, do you understand? The Holy Spirit's about to come upon you, and you're about to radically change the face of the earth. Like, do you understand what's about to happen? And they were just thinking about where they're going to sit in heaven. Like, don't worry. You got a mansion in heaven. Retirement looks great. Get to work in what I'm doing. They were so worried about their own honor, they missed what God was doing in the greater glory. But God's gracious. They jumped on it. After Jesus came back, he's like, remember? All right. Now are you ready to get kingdom mentality? And they were. Then they got that kingdom mentality. Thousands and thousands were added to the church. Spirit-filled, saved, delivered, set free. It's amazing what a few can do in honor. You could do it to form this world because it's the culture of heaven. It's the heartbeat of God. We owe this world an encounter with God, and it's the supernatural. Listen, the world does not need another teaching. And I am a word girl. I love the word. We need the supernatural. We need the word. We need the Spirit and the word. Truth and the Spirit. We need the supernatural. They need an encounter with God. They need the presence and they need the glory. And that comes through honor. Honor is the only way we will correctly raise up the next generation. And guess what? It's not taking away from us. When you have kids, you're multiplying. When you have grandkids, you're multiplying. That's the same in the kingdom of God. True leaders will honor. Honor creates an environment where your finish line, your greatest revelation in Christ, becomes somebody else's starting point. Your greatest revelation that you learned will be your kids' or your spiritual kids' starting line. Imagine you guys teaching what you know to these kids laying hands on the sick now, prophesying now. Leading people to the Lord now, these kids. Jesus said, you can do everything I do in my name and even greater works because I live in you. That was Jesus honoring us. Okay, did you see everything I did? Now you go do that and more. Jesus wants us to do greater things than even he did. Oh, you see how he honors us? He's not worried about his glory. He always gets it. It makes him look better. True leaders, true believers call out the best in people. They focus on who they are more than what they do. They focus on what God is doing and not what the enemy's doing. We don't need to talk about what the enemy's doing. We know he's always up to stuff. If we just focus on what God is doing, we won't even hear about what the enemy's doing. It's true. Just focus on what God's doing in your life. Just focus on it. Even if it's one thing, focus on that. Everything else the enemy's doing becomes so small. David raised up some of the finest, mightiest men in the Bible by honor. in David's lowest time, like Saul tries to kill him over and over. He's in a cave by himself, isolated from his family, his lowest time. The misfits, the broken, these wounded men come and just gather around him. So you're talking about the most dysfunctional church possible, okay? The most dysfunctional church. And through honor, David raises up the mightiest men in the Bible through honor, calling out the gold in these men. Not on what they do, where they're from, what family they're from, what their upbringing was like, what their degree, none of that. Who they are, how God sees them, and through that, raised up these mighty men of valor that stayed loyal to him through his whole lifetime, through honor. In David's lowest time, I mean, when you're low, it's really hard to give much to anybody else, but not David. He sowed honor. Jesus, by honoring the women at the well, the woman at the well, which I don't think she was very honorable to anybody else, but she honored that woman at the well, right? And through that, he raised up the first evangelist, and she transformed a whole city because God saw the gold. Everybody saw what she did. God saw who she was. That's powerful. Jesus honored Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus, the wee little man? The whole town hated Zacchaeus, and I don't blame him. He stole all their money. He was so dishonorable. And Jesus walks into town and says, "You, I'm going to go eat at your house." And everybody's like, "No, no, no, you don't want to eat at his house. He's horrible. He's a thief. Don't go to his house." And Jesus is like, "Nope, I'm going to his house." And everybody was so offended. I mean, they could think of 10 other people that God should go. But Jesus went and sat with Zacchaeus in just a few minutes. God called out the gold in Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a changed man and transformed. He paid back four times of everything he stole from everybody. That's what honor does. Wow. Jesus didn't talk to Zacchaeus about all he did wrong. And he could have. "Zacchaeus, you've stolen from everybody. Get your life right." He said, "Zacchaeus, I love you. I have a calling for you. You're better than this." And Zacchaeus rose up to that and changed a whole village. You see how Jesus thinks? You see the power of honor? It's so powerful. Okay, I need to close up. Honoring people will make us the safest people on earth. No judgment. Honor does not judge. The way of honor celebrates others' victory while you're still waiting for yours. That's a hard one. Yes. Honor celebrates somebody else's victory while you're still waiting for yours. Even when you think they don't deserve it. Oh, you know that religious spirit? I've been praying for that. I fasted for that. I go to church more than them. I read my Bible more than them. Why do they have the victory? Because it's all free. Jesus Christ paid for it. You cannot earn it. It's just by believing. We celebrate somebody else's victory. That is so powerful. If you can celebrate what somebody's received when you're still waiting for it, look out. God is going to elevate you so high. Favor is going to come on your life. Honor brings supernatural solutions to earthly problems. Honor brings supernatural solutions to earthly problems. Honor will bring favor in your life and the supernatural around you. There's a better way, and the way is honor. Every single one of us, your boss, honor your boss. He's your boss. Honor the people around you, your coworkers. Call out the gold in them. Don't focus on what they're doing wrong. Focus on what they're doing right. You will transform your workplace, transform your neighborhood, transform your home. Your spouse, I know, we know all the worst things about each other, right? We're going on how many years? 16, babe, this year? 16. But call out the gold. Call out the good in your spouse. Then all that other stuff becomes small. Honor one another. Every person has a gift inside of them, and honoring them draws it out. You know, when you honor each other, you get to receive the gift in somebody else. Do you understand? When you honor your pastors, there's a gift and anointing on their life that you get to receive from. But dishonor, just like Jesus in his hometown, it cuts off what you could receive, what God wants to bring you. God is calling us to big. God is calling us to build big people. Not big businesses, not big churches, big people. Right? Where there's honor, there's tremendous favor in the atmosphere of the super. I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I want to do ministry time. I really want to pray over you and my husband, too. We want to lay hands on you. If you need a miracle today, I know that was kind of abrupt, and I'm going to go into prayer, but the service is almost over, but I want to see God move today. If you need a physical healing, an emotional healing, a mental healing, if you need a financial miracle, whatever you need, God is here, and he's going to do it. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'll turn it over, huh? Or do you want me to just invite them up, or how do you want me to do it? Okay. So, Ben, do you want to come up now, and I'll pray, and then we'll pray over? All right, let me just pray over this honor, and then if you need prayer for anything, do you want to dismiss Chad, and I'll have him come up, or do you want me to do it in the service? Okay, all right, so Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. God, we need your favor, and we need the supernatural. We need signs, wonders, and miracles to go forth. We need healing in our homes and healing in our land. God, we need healing in our land. We need healing in our homes. I thank you, God, that you honor us. You honor us and you love us so much. When we were your enemies, you loved us and called us your own, invited us, an invitation of relationship. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just pray this morning, wherever we have dishonored people, we repent. Show us how to do the right way. Show us how to clean up our messes. Show us how to walk in honor. Where we've dishonored somebody that you've created, you've called a masterpiece, we repent. Show us how to honor. And Lord, show us how to honor even in injustices. Because you're more than able to right a wrong. Oh, you're so good at it. I even feel there's some people here that has gone through so much injustice. And I'm telling you, your daddy God is more than able to right that wrong. It delights him to turn around that situation. Stop talking about it and trust him. Focus on what God is doing because it's worshiping Satan when we elevate the problem. When we're focused on the problem, we make the enemy look so big, and he is not. He's defeated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Show us how to honor. Thank you for favor in the supernatural. You need healing for anything. Come up here. We're going to lay hands on you. Chad and Gina, Ben and I will lay hands on you before you go. And if you have to go, we bless you in the name of Jesus. But let's just see what God wants to do today. Because I think he's going to move big.
Let's stand up together, can we? If you want to come to the altar and pray during this time, feel free. I know we haven't done that often, but if you want to come to the altar and just pray, any need at all, more than welcome to come on up. Amen. Any prayer need, come on up right now in Jesus' name. It's a safe place. We're just going to lay hands on you, but let's pray together, okay? Amen.